I ask Tamara to come back to the center of the stage. Because as I was kind of dancing around there and drumming on the chairs and enjoying the praise and worship, I was shouting inside my heart and doing all of that thing because I won a victory just by being here tonight. And I'm watching her and I'm going, your victory was so much harder fought than mine. So much harder, and look at you, and here you are. I've learned a new mantra from God recently, and boy, did I use it this week, because you know the devil will throw everything you can think of and some things you never thought he could think of at you to try to keep you from doing what God wants you to do, right? Okay. So the thing I've learned from God recently, and I've said it more this week than the other week, I take every thought captive so I can obey Christ. I take every thought captive so I can obey Christ. I take every thought captive so I can obey Christ. You had to do that to be back up here. I had to do that to get here today. This is what I'm saying to you. If the devil fought you being here tonight and you had to take every thought captive to be here, stand up and shout. Give him a victory shout. No, I said stand up. Stand up and shout. Give God a victory shout because you won. Because he strengthened you. He brought you here. And you were here to see this victory. You were here to see Tamara back on the stage for the first time. God tried to keep you away from that. Do you understand that you have to fight for everything you want? And whatever it is, the words that God gives you, because I know you had to fight. You had to take so many thoughts captive and stomp them in the ground and smash them and crush them. Just to be back here, let alone to be on this stage. And I rejoice with you and celebrate with you and honor you and thank God for you. I don't know what else to say. I'm just so happy. I'm so happy. I'm so happy I am here. So happy you are here. So happy everyone who's sitting in those seats, because most of them are sitting again. So happy. Bless God. I'm going to have Rob escort you down to your chair, because the power of God's pretty strong here. I don't want you. Okay? And we're going to go on with the night. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. He has them. Thank you, God. Thank you. There's just times when you can't say anything but thank you, and you're remiss if you don't say thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you. How long we've waited, how hard she's worked, how much we've prayed. Thank you, God. And there's more and 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 more to come. And there's a lot more mores. But you probably got tired of me hearing me say more already. Oh, God is so good. Haven't you had to fight so hard for something, and when you got it, all you wanted to do was do a victory dance? This way I feel tonight. I need some drumsticks. God, yeah, right, I know, but I'd probably break them because I'm there. Yay, God! Yay, God! I'm telling you, there's nobody worthy of our exalting. You know what that means, rejoicing, praising. There's nobody worthy of the joy that we can demonstrate, except him. He's the only one. Do you know what ghosting is? Raise your hand if you know what ghosting is. Okay. I expect all the young people to know. If you don't know what ghosting is, you will by the time we're done tonight. Yes, if you're paying attention, which I believe you all will. We live in a difficult time. No doubt about it. There is evil all around us. There is evil attacking us every day from every side with every thought. That's why you have to take every thought captive so you can obey Christ. But the Bible has some advice for us. in this situation. Let's look at the first verse. It says, think about Jesus' example. Now we can stop right there. We actually could just stop right there and go home. Because if we all did that all day long, we'd be in really good shape. Think about Jesus' example. Is everyone, whatever you're facing, whatever your situation is, whatever evil surrounds you, whatever difficulty, discouragement, whatever it is, stop and think about Jesus. Because you aren't facing anything he didn't face. And he has an example for you to look at in every situation. And if we did that, we'd be so much stronger. We'd be so much wiser. We'd do so much more. We would realize that we can do so much more. Think about Jesus' example. It says he held on. And when I read that, my first question was, what did he hold on to? And we'll talk about that. He held on while wicked people were doing evil things to him. None of us have faced evil things like Jesus did. None of us have faced that degree of evil. None of us have, as the Bible says, given up our lives to overcome evil. We're just really proud of her when we win one little victory. Like, I'm really proud of myself, and I'm really happy because it was hard fought for me to be here tonight. It's hard fought for you to be here. Hard fought for you to be up here on the stage. Jesus held on when wicked people were doing evil things to him, a whole lot worse than they've ever done to us. He held on to what? He held on to goodness. He held on to godliness. He held on to God's ways. He held on to faith. He held on to hope. He held on to love. He held on to his connection with his heavenly Father so that he didn't abort his destiny. You know, that's what will happen to you if you don't hold on to your connection with God. You will abort your destiny. It says, don't get tired and stop trying. Don't give up. Jesus didn't give up. He never gave up. Everywhere you go, I'm sure it's just like me, everywhere you go, you run into people who are discouraged, depressed, anxious, fearful, negative, complaining. I was walking out of CVS recently, very recently, and a lady who had just checked out right ahead of me just kind of paused and then walked out with me, and she had so much to say, all of it negative, all of it critical, all of it complaining. She was so afraid of the things that would happen to her if she went to the store. You're not safe going to the store anymore. You're not safe walking down the street. You're not safe driving your car. I mean, I thought, what an awful way to live. But all the while she's talking, I'm trying to, you know, turn her around, trying to give her, inject some hope, inject some cheer, inject some positivity into her. And we were making progress. Until we got out in the parking lot near her car, where I think it was her husband, was having a conversation with someone else. And she overheard a negative statement that they made, and boy, she abandoned our conversation like, yeah, whatever. She joined right in with their negativity and injected herself into their negative conversation. And I just said, see you later. Have a blessed day. And I walked on, and as I walked by her car, I saw a bumper sticker. It said, in God we trust. That was exactly my reaction. Okay. I think that means nothing to you. I just thought, I'm not saying it. I think that's just a religious declaration. Eugenia, that picture. If you are going to sport In God We Trust bumper stickers on your car. If you're going to walk around with t-shirts that talk about trusting God and having faith in God and having your life better exemplify it. Don't tell me you trust in God and then fill my ear with all that negativity. Don't tell me you trust in God and tell me you're afraid to leave your house. Don't tell me that. As Christians, we, and I don't want to say that she said she was a Christian, but her car said, "In God we trust." As Christians, we have no reason. We actually have no right to be negative, to be cynical, to be critical, to be fearful, to be depressed, anxious, discouraged. It all hits us from time to time, but then you can say what I'm learning to say. I take every thought captive so I can obey Christ. Because if you don't take those thoughts captive, they will lead you to sin. As Christians, we have no right to any of those negative emotions. It said, go back to the verse. It said, do not get tired and stop trying. Jesus never did. Jesus did not let all of the evil that surrounded him change his character. Neither can we. We cannot afford to let it change our character. I am aware of something that happened down in the Miami area that only if you're an animal lover you might know about. But there was a blind 16-year-old dog, house dog, small, purebred, pedigreed dog that was dumped in a canal full of alligators and snakes because it had outlived its usefulness to its owner. That's evil. And the first two people who found it refused to help it because it didn't fit their standards. It was old. It was blind. They didn't even care enough to take it to a shelter where it could be safe. That's evil. It's evil to throw something away to die. It's evil to not care enough to help. And that's only a dog. There are people. There are human beings that need your help, that need my help. When you see them, do you decide not to help them because they don't measure up to your standards? Do you look at them and assess their worthiness for your help? That's evil. God has called us to a different standard. He has called us to do what Jesus did. Let's look at the next verse and find out what Jesus did. And you know that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, the Holy Spirit, and with power. Stop right there. That's no different than you. God has anointed you with the Holy Spirit and with power. Maybe 3 weeks ago, maybe 4 weeks ago, I don't know how many weeks ago, Bishop preached a message on you can't have a changed life if you won't change your life. And he used Isaiah 61 where Jesus says, I've been anointed. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to set the captives free, to heal the brokenhearted. That was Jesus' job description. That's your job description. Because you know that you have been anointed. You know that God anointed Jeannie of Sebring with the Holy Spirit and with power. Whatever your name is, put it in there. God anointed you with the Holy Spirit and with power. And then Jesus went around doing good. You see, we're called to a different standard. And healing all who were oppressed by the devil. Why? because God was with him. That's your job description. Have you ever gone and applied for a job and you got a job description? The job description says, here's what we're going to do for you, and here's what we expect of you to get this. Your job description says that God is anointing you with the Holy Spirit and with power, and you are expected to go out and do good, to heal all those who are oppressed by the devil. How can you do that? Not because you have the power. Not because you have the strength. It doesn't depend on you. You can do that because God is with you. Someone said to me recently, the Holy Spirit has been telling me to do such and such. Who's been telling? The Holy Spirit has been telling me to do this. I haven't done it because I don't think I'm ready. I don't think I'm at that level yet. Well, I got news for you. If the Holy Spirit has been telling you to do it, he knows you're ready. He knows you're at whatever level is needed. And he knows that it doesn't depend on you. The power is not in you. The power is in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. God has anointed you with the Holy Spirit and with power, so that you can go about doing good and healing all that he sends to you, no matter how they are oppressed by the devil. That's your job description. And I'm going to tell you something. I can tell you from experience. If you don't do your part of the job description, if you don't go about doing good and healing all that are oppressed, then you're going to lose the benefits of the first part. You're going to lose that anointing. Use it. Have confidence, because it says he did that because God was with him. Let's just go look at the next one, because if I spend too much time here, we won't get finished. Go to the next one. We did already. It says, and also in Isaiah, arise. You know what that means, right? Get up. Get out of your bed. Stand up. Get dressed. Arise. Get out of your lazy boy. Get up and shine. Shine, for your light has come. This is you. Stand up. Get up. Take a stand. Shine. Be the light that God has made you. You are the light of the world. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. And then he said, you're the light of the world. Stand up. Shine. Shine with that light. You know this little light of mine? I'm going to let it shine. Yeah, right. No, you need to. And it's not a little light. Arise and shine, for your light, the light that belongs to you, has come to you. And the glory of the Lord rises on you. See, when you are anointed with the Holy Spirit and with power, the light of God and the glory of God should be all over your life. It should be shining. It should be being exemplified by everything you do. See, darkness covers the earth. Would anybody argue with that? See what it says? See, darkness covers the earth. Do you agree with that? Darkness. This world is as dark as I have ever known it. It's far more darker than it was 50 years ago. More darker, is that right? It's far darker than it was 50 years ago. See, darkness covers the earth. There's so much darkness around us. All you have to think about is all of the evil that you know has infected and infested our society. All of the children that are aborted, all of the children that are abused, all of the relationships that are broken and torn. Their whole rainbow thing. All the darkness. See, darkness covers the earth. And thick darkness is over the people. You realize that is saying the earth is really dark, really dark. But it's even darker over the people. Thick darkness covers the people. It's dark over the earth, but thick. Thick. You know the difference between fog and thick fog? You know the difference between smoke and thick smoke? Darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the people. If you only need an example of that. I that's all I could think of when I heard, and of course it was, I don't think it was Tuesday night. So of course I've got this verse in my mind. And I read a report of something that happened in our Senate on Tuesday. I think those guys thought they were doing a cowboy movie. Because it went sort of like this. All right, any place, any time, I'll take you on. We'll finish this anywhere, anytime. You choose. The other senator. This is in a Senate meeting. In the building, surrounded by all those beautiful chairs and desks and rich and... Okay, here's the time. It's the time is now. The place is right here. I'll take you on right now. And the one senator started taking off his ring so he was ready to fight, and the other one got up, and they're ready to fight. Yes, oh my gosh. Darkness covers the earth, but thick darkness covers the people. And the chairman was up there pounding on the table with his gavel and yelling at him and saying, not here. This is not the place. You're senators. Thinks thick darkness covers the people. Watch your government. We know thick darkness covers. And the problem is that it rolls from the head down. Everything goes from the head down. You know the darkness that's over our highest office in the land. All of the darkness that flows out of the White House. I was aghast. I don't know any other word to say when I watched elected officials who are there to make wise decisions about the laws of the land, acting like they were actors in a cowboy movie. All right, I'll meet you outside. We'll settle this thing right here, right now. Okay, let's go. Okay, thick darkness. Let me go on. But the Lord rises on you. You see, you're the hope. You see that the light, the glory, the anointing that you carry is to dispel that darkness. You and I are to be the light that shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not overcome it. That's what we're called to be. The Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. We are called to bring hope. In the darkness, you can't see a thing. And it can be frightening. And people who are not comfortable in the dark, and I don't know who is really, but they can be hopeless. The darkness that is over the earth causes people to be hopeless, to feel helpless. We are called to bring hope. That is one of the things that I absolutely love about Bishop's friend Ronnie. Hope is a joyful expectation of good. That man is so full of a joyful expectation of good. With all the time that I spent talking to him, I did not hear one negative word come out of his mouth. He was full of hope. He brings hope. He brings life. He brings joy to people. That's the way we're supposed to be. Can you be that for people? Can you bring life and hope and encouragement to people instead of dumping your garbage on them? Because that's what a lot of us do. We dump our garbage on them and we drag them down even further. Why are people hopeless? It's a good question, isn't it? It's a good question. Why are people hopeless? Why do they feel so helpless? Why do they feel that they have no ability to change their circumstances? You want to know why? Because they have forgotten where their power is. People today think their power is in complaining. The more people you can get to complain on the subject, the stronger you feel. If you don't believe that, go to Facebook. The more people you can get in that thread complaining about the same thing you're complaining about, the stronger you feel. Today, people feel their power is in complaining and negativity, in demonstrating, the Brooklyn Bridge, any demonstration you want to talk about, in violence, in rioting. People have forgotten where their power is. Can I see the next slide, please? God has spoken plainly, and I have heard it many times. Power, O God, belongs to you. Power comes from God. We have no power outside of God. And we have been anointed with the Holy Spirit and power so that we can go about doing good because God is with us, because God brings the power. I don't have to be strong. In fact, I know I'm not. Probably should just go right to the next verse. To those who have no might, he increases strength. If you are intelligent, and I think you all are, if you are wise, then you recognize that you're in that first line, that you have no might. You have no power. You have no strength. Any strength that you have comes from God. People feel that they are powerless, well, and they are, because they're looking for their power in the wrong place. Unless you are looking for your power from God, you don't have any. They're powerless because they've given away. And I say they, we give away the power that God gave us. Jesus, when he was ready to go, he said, all power is given unto me, all authority is given to me in heaven and in earth, and now you go. You take this power, and you take dominion over this earth. And we give our power away. Can you imagine all the power that God has given us, and we don't use it? We actually give it away. Here, devil, take my power. How do you do that? You don't think you do that? You don't think you hand your power off? Oh, yeah, you do. Every time you participate in evil. Now, Bishop, you've been telling us that for the last three messages. Any form of evil that we are involved in, the world's culture, the world's customs, evil, anything that denies who God is in our life, an idol, you give away your power when you do that. Think about the things that you've done that you know you shouldn't be doing. Realize that every time you did one of those, you just handed the devil more of your power. You hand off your power every time you open your mouth and complain. Every time you open your mouth and say a negative, complaining word, phrase, sentence, you just handed off your power to the devil. We don't want to live that way, right? We give away our power. And think about, most often we think about the consequences of our sin. And Bishop taught us this. He taught me this. I hope he taught you if you were here, if you were listening. The real cost of our sin is not the consequence that we're going to pay. The real cost of our sin is what we lost when we did it. What did you lose? You lost your power. You lost the power of God. You lost the presence of God. You lost the participant. Think of how much it costs you to open your mouth and complain. Think about the price you're paying. I'm sorry. I'm kind of worked up about this. Think of the price you're paying every time you speak a negative word. Every time you complain. Every time you participate in something that is ungodly, off, just off center, out of alignment with God. You've given up your power. And what is the result of the fact that we've given up our power? You can see the results of our loss of power on the faces of the people around you who are discouraged, depressed, fearful, anxious, and you don't have the ability to help them because you gave up your power. You handed it off to the devil. Is that the way you want to live? Not me, not you. Those who have no might, and that should, you should say, that's me. I don't have any power of my own. I don't have any strength of my own. To those who have no might, he increases strength. God gives power to the weak. I will gladly admit to you that I am weak, that I am not physically strong. I'm not mentally strong, emotionally. I am spiritually strong and stronger every day. To those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men will utterly fall. They'll fall off the ground, as Bishop says. So it's not dependent on age, correct? Because the youth are going to fall. The young men are going to fall. It's not dependent on physical ability. It's dependent on those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. What does it mean to wait upon the Lord? It doesn't mean, well, I'm waiting, God. I asked you, God, where is it? I'm waiting, God. What's the matter with you, God? That's not waiting on the Lord. Waiting on the Lord is keeping your eyes on him. Waiting on the Lord is focusing on him, seeing what he wants to do, so that you can do what he wants to do. It's relying on him, depending on him, spending time with him, seeking him. And let's go on and look at the eagle. They mount up with wings like eagles. Those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They're going to have new strength every day. Paul said it, though my outward man is perishing, I am renewed every day. My inner man is being renewed every day. Those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They'll mount up like eagles. They'll run and not be weary. They'll walk and not faint. How does an eagle mount up? Means to lift up off of whatever he's sitting on. How does an eagle lift up off of what he's sitting on and fly? You don't see him flap his wings to get out of his nest. No. He's sitting there with every bit of his senses paying attention to the wind. And when he senses a wind that will lift him up off of where he wants to go, he mounts up with the wind. He goes with the wind. He soars with the wind. He goes with the updraft, goes with the downdraft. Wait on the Lord. Wait for the wind of God. Find the wind of God. Find the movement of God. And when he's going up, go up. When he's going left, go left. When he's going right. I'm waiting on the Lord right now with this message. I'm waiting for him to tell me what to say next. I'm waiting to see what direction that wind is blowing. What direction is that wind going? What does he want? You wait on the Lord. You keep your eyes on him. You focus on him and what he's doing. And you can only do that by staying connected to him. You can only do that by spending time with him. Our connection. I am so glad. So glad. I can't tell you how glad I am that I made that New Year's Eve declaration that I was going to pursue unbroken connection with God this year. It has been so beneficial to me. I cannot tell you how different my life is that I focus on unbroken connection. I cannot tell you what I think this year would have been like if I were not focusing on unbroken connection. I had a conversation with my hairdresser, excuse me. This was just a couple weeks ago when I had my hair done. And I don't know how the subject came up. But I said to her, you know, I think this might be the first year that I can remember that when it's over, I won't say this year was better than the year before. Soon as I said it, God corrected me. Now, first of all, why did I say it? Because it's been a tough year. It's been full of disappointments. It's been full of difficulty. It's never mind. It's just been full of stuff. Yeah, all of you. It's been full of stuff. Okay? As soon as I said, this might be the first year I can remember that I won't say this year was better than the year before, God corrected me. He said this absolutely, definitely, truly has been the best year of your life. Because in this year, you have learned how to stay connected to me. And it is in that connection with me that you know what to do at every turn. You know what to do about everything Satan sends against you. It's because of that unbroken connection that I'm standing before you victorious tonight. Because he tries to keep us from doing anything and everything that God wants us to do. Anything and everything that you have determined you are going to do, he works all the harder to keep you from it. So I am very grateful for that unbroken connection that I'm learning. Am I perfect at it? Absolutely not. Am I better at it than I was last year? Oh, my goodness. Yes, I am so much better than I was last year. Did we finish that verse? They shall run and not go weary. They shall walk and not faint. So it's not dependent on our age. It's not dependent on our physical ability. It's dependent on our connection with God. And I want to say this, too. The last series of messages, I think it took me 3 weeks to finish it, which I never expect. We talked about you have to give reason for God to bless you. Remember that? Well, as surely as we have to give reason for God to bless us, we have to give opportunity for God to bless us. He cannot bless us if we're not going to wait on him, spend time with him, listen to him, follow him, if we're not going to stay connected to him. The opportunity to bless us comes in our connection with him. That's where that opportunity comes. Okay, and I think we're ready to go to the next one. Next verse. Oh, yeah, it's not even a verse. Ghosting. We're talking about what is ghosting. When you ghost someone, you ignore their repeated efforts to contact you. Phone calls go unanswered, text messages, emails, Facebook posts get no reply. Any attempt to communicate with you is ignored. A relationship has gone silent. So the question is, the title, are you ghosting God? Are you not answering his calls? Are you ignoring his texts and his emails? Are you ignoring his efforts to connect with you, to communicate with you? It's so easy to ignore God when he's talking to you. It's so easy to brush it off. Like the person who said to me, the Holy Spirit has been telling me to do this, and I just don't think I'm ready. Okay, so you're ghosting God, ignoring him, brushing him off. And you don't have to do that very often before your relationship goes silent, because God's not going to pursue you. He's waiting for you to answer him. He has pursued you. He's reaching out to you, and you ignore all of his efforts. So talk about ghosting God. Next slide. Ghosting God means, when you get right down to it, that he no longer matters to you like he once did. Because there was a day when you paid attention to everything he said. And you were as quick as you could be to do what you thought God was telling you. Even if you thought wrong, you just wanted to do what he said. But you've gotten complacent. You've gotten comfortable. He no longer matters to you like he once did. He has become unimportant in your personal world. You will say, yes, he's important to me. Yes, I love God. In God I trust. I wear the t-shirts. I sing the songs. But in actual fact, he's become unimportant in your personal world. You place a higher value on other activities, like trick-or-treating. Disney World. Anything that interrupts the things that you should be doing with God. You place a higher value on other activities, other people. I don't have time to sit with God right now. I've got to go visit my friend. I've got to go do this. I've got to, you know, all the I got to do's that steal your time with God. You all know about them. You place a higher value on other activities, other people, or on having your own way. Oh, my. That one. Think about it. Most of the time, when you stop communicating with God, it's because he didn't give you your way. You asked for something. He said no. You went and did it anyway. And now you feel guilty. Now you don't want to reach out to him. You're ghosting him because he didn't give you your own way. You know that's why Israel rebelled against God in the wilderness and over and over and over? Because God wouldn't give them their own way. They are our example. They do show us that the reason we cut off communication with God, the reason we turn to idols, the reason we turn to other people and other activities is because God won't give us our way. I did it my way. Okay. We place more value on those things than on communicating with him. So your relationship with God has gone silent. It's not active like it used to be. You know, people talk a lot about quiet time. And I love the expression. And I have a lot of quiet time with God. And it means different things to different people. I like when I first wake up, I usually wake up like 5 o'clock in the morning, and I like to just lie there in bed quietly and think about him. Just picture him and think about him. And I like to read a scripture in the morning, and I like to read a page out of Jesus Calling, and I love to pray and set all my declarations before him. You know, I have personal time with God. And yes, it's quiet. Because it's early in the morning. And at the end of the day, I like to sit down with Bishop's book and read a chapter out of his book and think about that. But you know what quiet time is to me? This is how I define quiet time. You bring God time, you bring him yourself, and he brings the quiet to you. Because you come to him with yourself and your time. And when you come, you bring in all your stuff, all your problems, all your questions, everything that's bothering you, and he comes and he gives you peace. That's quiet time to me. He gives you quiet. So quiet time can happen and should happen anywhere in the day. All day long when there's something that you have a question about, something that's troubling you, something that you just want to say thank you for, anything, any time of the day, you bring him yourself, you bring him your time, and he brings you the quiet. There's nothing like it. I used to tell you about the prayer chairs, that I have a prayer chair in every room. I still do. But I don't run to them anywhere near as often as I used to. Now I just have some quiet time. Here I am, God. It's me, and it's time. Talk to me about this. It doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter if you're at the stove cooking, if you're sitting in the chair or watching somebody watch TV. It doesn't matter if you're out walking. Whatever you're doing, driving, sitting at work, you can have quiet time with God anywhere you are. You can work on that unbroken connection. If you realize all it is I bring you and my time, I bring you me and my time, and now you bring me the quiet I need, God. Quiet my heart. Quiet my mind. Nothing wrong with quiet, but don't let your relationship with him be silent. And I think I kind of lost track of where we were here. Quiet time. Quiet time. We talked about that. Okay, I guess we're ready to go to the next concept, which I hope you can follow me through it. I just appreciate when God shows you something that you've never seen before. You know the song, and I think the title of it is Resurrecting, and it says in the song, oh, did I skip that verse? Let's do that verse. That's a good one. Giving God opportunity. That's a good verse. Looks like I skipped it because she put it up there. Stay joined to me. This is John 15, you know, the vine and the branches. Stay joined to me. And another word for joined is connected. Stay connected to me, and I will stay connected to you. No branch can produce fruit alone. It must stay connected to the vine. Connected, connected, connected. It's the same with you. You cannot produce fruit. You cannot go about doing good and healing all that are oppressed of the devil. You cannot bring good news. You cannot set the captives free. You cannot, you just can't do the work that God has given to you if you don't stay connected to him. Join. Stay joined to me. Stay connected to me. I think you understand that I'm talking tonight about the importance of connection with God, of that unbroken connection. So there's a song that we sing, and I think it's called Resurrecting. And the phrase that God just brought alive to me is the one that says, and Jeannie, you probably know it well enough. If I've got it wrong, you can give me the right words. It says, his dying breath upon the cross now is alive in me. Is that close? His last breath, Jesus' last breath, his dying breath on the cross, when he gave up his spirit, you can go to the next verse because it's so tied together. When he gave up, he said, and when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. And having said this, he gave up the ghost. Into your hands I commend my spirit. He gave up his spirit to God. That last breath, he gave up his spirit. Some translations say he yielded his spirit. He dismissed his spirit. King James says he gave up the ghost. We're using that one for a specific reason tonight. His dying breath on the cross is what lives in you now. That dismissing of his spirit, that Holy Spirit, that spirit enlivened him, that's the spirit that's alive in you now. Another song that we sing says the same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in me. We do not realize how much power we have. And it says he gave up the ghost. He gave up his spirit to God. But that last breath, when he gave up that spirit, when his dying breath, that's what lives in you now. Can you even imagine the power that carried Jesus from birth to death on the cross, that when he dismissed that spirit, spirit is breath, you know, pneuma, breath. When he dismissed his spirit, that's what's alive in you now. And you have the same power that Jesus had. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. So the reason this caught my attention is because we use the expression gave up the ghost, but we don't mean it to say that I dismissed my spirit. That's what the Bible means. Have you ever heard anyone say, oh, my computer gave up the ghost. My car gave up the ghost. Right? Okay, let's look at what that definition. Collins Dictionary says the definition to give up the ghost means if someone gives up the ghost, they stop trying to do something because they no longer believe they can do it successfully. That's so many Christians. Not realizing the power that was transferred from Jesus to you when he died and was raised again. You give up trying because you don't believe you can do it. That's what the person was saying to me when he said, I don't think I'm ready. I don't believe I can do it. The machine gives up the ghost and stops working. Do we understand that? But so many Christians, so many people who understand that the Spirit of God lives in them. But if you really understood it, if you really had a revelation of it, you would think differently, you would speak differently, you would act differently. But so many Christians have stopped trying. Have stopped trying to bring the light of God to the world, to bring the glory of God to the world, to bring the power of God to the people and the situations around you. You don't have to be a mighty man of God. You have to be an obedient servant of God. You have to be one who understands that it's not you, that the power of God in you is going to do the work, and all you have to do is go and do what he told you to do. Take that wind of the Spirit. You see it, tells you where to go. Be like the eagle. Go where the wind is going. Do what you need to do. It distresses me greatly to know, I mean, and I am no, how do I want to say this? We all fall short of the power of God. We all fall short of what God knows we can do. But it distresses me to know that people have given up trying to live that life that they are anointed to live because they don't feel they're good enough. Because they don't feel that they've achieved that level. Because they don't feel they're powerful enough, and you don't have to be. He gives power to those who have no power. To those who know they are weak, he increases strength. So, got another, I think we have another verse to go to. Yes. This is what Paul prays for us, for the Christian, for the person who is moving in Christ, for the person who sees maybe the obstacles, who thinks, I can't, I don't, whatever you think. Paul says, I ask that your minds may be opened to see his light. He's talking about revelation. I ask that God gives you revelation, and that's my prayer tonight. That God gives you and you and you and you and me, that he gives us revelation so that we will know what is the hope to which he has called us. So that we will know it, so that we will understand it, so that it will be part of us, so that it's really something we can live out. I think I was talking to Jeannie when I said it doesn't do any good to just talk about the things of God, or sing the pretty songs about the things of God. If they're not reality, was it us who were talking about that? If it's not reality in your heart, if you do not actually see and believe that God will empower you to do, I ask that your minds be opened to see his light. I ask that God gives you revelation so that you will know what is the hope to which he has called you, so that you will know your job description, so that you will know you can do what he's called you to do, so that you will know how rich the wonderful blessings are that he promises to his people. He can't bless you if you don't give him opportunity, if you don't spend time with him, if you don't focus on him, keep your eyes on him, see things from his perspective. That thing I said earlier about the people and the dog, and then, well, people, do you look at people and judge their worthiness for your help before you ever ask God, what should I do? Can I help? Is there something you want me to do? Because if you judge them without talking to God, again, you're ghosting God. Cutting off your communication with him. Paul is praying that God will give us revelation so that we will understand the wonderful blessings he promises to his people and how very great is his power that is at work in us. Please don't ever think, I don't have the power to do that. I'm not at that level. I don't think I'm good enough. Don't think that, because here Paul is saying, I'm asking God to give you revelation so that you will understand how great his power is that's at work in us who believe. This power working in us is the same as the mighty strength power which he used when he raised Christ from the dead. It took more power to raise Christ from the dead than anything else in the Bible. And yet that's the power that's at work in you. That's the strength, the anointing. That's what's at work in you, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. Then does anything depend on you? Does it matter what you think about your ability? No, it matters what you think about God's ability through you. It matters if you are just willing to go and do what he tells you to do. It matters if you are willing to clamp your mouth over those words of complaining so you don't give up your power. It matters if you stay away from ungodly activity. It matters because they all rob you of your power. This power working in us is the same as the mighty strength he used when he raised Christ Jesus from the dead and seated him at his right side in heavenly places. And right after this verse, a couple of verses later, it says, and we have been raised with him and seated with him. We have the same power. We have the same authority. Seating is authority. He has given us that same. Don't you want your life to be filled with praise reports about the things that you have been able to do? I mean, my brother, 3 years ago, I wanted to go see my brother because he didn't have much longer to live. And then COVID interrupted, and I couldn't go see him. So I asked God, God, spare his life. Give him longer life. Give him quality life. Let me go to see him. I don't want his life spared if it's not cool. So give him quality life. This is 3 years later. He's still alive. He's enjoying quality life. He has white matter disease, and so it's eating away the parts of his brain, and there are things, you know, more and more things that he can't do. But he has grandchildren who take him to the lake in a chair and set him in the water so he can fish. He has grandchildren who put him in the truck and drive him around the countryside because he has a license to shoot from the truck. So he got a deer. He celebrated his 58th wedding anniversary yesterday. God will do what you ask him to do. Somebody sent me a request, and I looked at it, and I went, huh, what do you want me to do about that, God? And I hadn't even heard, you know, I'm waiting to hear, what do you want me to do about this request, God? Within minutes, I got a text message, and what the text message said, I knew was God's answer to my question. Don't you want to live like that? Staying in unbroken connection with God. For years in my declarations, I have said, I declare that all my body chemistry is in perfect balance. All my numbers are within acceptable, perfect range. My triglycerides, LDL, HDL, glucose, everything works together. For the first time in my life, I saw my doctor on November 5th, whatever day that was. My blood work came back with everything in normal range. Everything. The triglycerides that haven't, I was 40 and I had high triglycerides. Now all of a sudden, not all of a sudden, now many years of talking to God about it, my triglycerides are in normal range for the first time. My blood glucose was 86. My average was 92. My A1C was 5.4. I mean, don't you want God to work like that in your life? But you need to give him yourself and your time and seek it and have that unbroken connection. You know, you're not going to start out with unbroken connection. I didn't, and I'm still not there. But if that is your goal, because that's true worship, it's just, I'm going to live an unbroken connection with you, God. I'm going to let you rule every minute of my life, every day of my life. What will you do to increase your power? What will you do so that you can live with more of the power of God active? What will you stop doing that's giving your power away to the devil? Because you have to make the decision. And some of them are hard decisions. But what are you going to do so that you, who are anointed with the Holy Spirit and with power, can go about doing good and healing everyone who needs you? What are you going to do? What are you going to change? What am I going to change? How are we going to live differently so that we can live up to that job description that God has given us and so that he can bless us with all his great and wonderful promises? so that the power he's given you can be at work in you. What are you going to do? You can't do it if you're ghosting God. You can't do it if you're ignoring him. If you're cutting him off when he says something you don't want to hear. You can't do it if you're not spending time with him. You can't do it if you don't bring him you and your time and let him bring you the quiet. That's what it's all about. That's what our life with him is all about. Connecting with him. Be like the eagle. Sit on the post with all your senses alert or in your nest. And wait till you sense that wind. And when you sense the wind, you just rise up with it and go do what God is telling you to do. Father, you're so good to us. And I'm so grateful. And I thank you for what you're teaching us, for what you've shown us. I pray that as we go out of here tonight, Father, the words that you have heard become alive and active in our daily lives, so that we're not just speaking words, wearing t-shirts, having bumper stickers, singing songs, but we're actually living according to that job description. That we are actually living with the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit, going about doing good and healing all that are oppressed of the devil. And I ask it in Jesus' name, because it is the name above every name. And it is the name of the one whose dying breath now lives in us. Thank you, God. Amen.